strongholds last week. And today I want to talk about something that Jesus thought was pretty important. So let's turn to Matthew. Where am I want to go here? Matthew 24. Yeah, that's the one. Matthew chapter 24. What is God? What does the Bible say God is? God is love. God is love. Keep that in mind. Jesus is speaking in Matthew 24, and he's talking about the end times, what's going to happen. And I believe that we are living in those end times. I'm not suggesting Jesus is returning tomorrow or anything like that, but I think we are living in the last part. That may go on for 50, 100 years, 200 years, but definitely we are seeing the things that Jesus talked about. So in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, Jesus says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many, and others translate the word many as most, so you could say the love of most or many, will grow cold. It's a stronghold of cold love. And the danger of that, and there is a serious danger of it, is that what is God? God's love. And so when we begin to embrace cold love, and it starts to sneak in and get into our thoughts and get into our attitudes and mindsets, what it does is it puts a barrier up between us and the Lord. And it's very hard to connect with Him because our own hearts have been allowed to grow cold. And we're seeing that today, that there is... I've never seen the level of strife that there is going on now. It's all over the place. It just seems you can't read anything without coming across strife. And the powers across the world are fighting with one another. I mean, it really is a time that we desperately, desperately need prayer in the church. And we need God. We need God to intervene. But there's a danger for us because when someone does something to you that is harmful or hurtful or painful, we have a tendency to withdraw. Even if we don't, you know, want to get revenge, we have a tendency to just withdraw from that and not be associated anymore with that person because they represent pain. Discomfort. They represent something that is not pleasant for us. And that effect starts to take a grip inside of us because it's hard to be on fire for God. It's hard for the love of God to be ablaze in our spirit. And I believe it's just coming to mind here. Let me go to Romans for a moment. Romans chapter 12, I believe, verse 11. Well, let's back that up a little bit. Let's go to verse 9. Romans 12, 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And so there are other translations that say, on fire for God. Literally on fire for God. And then what do you have to do to keep a fire going? You got to feed it. You got to feed it. And not every other day, but constantly, because it is so easy to just slip away from that. Especially in the times that we're living, it's so easy to fall out of love with God and his people. Because, now this may come as a shock to you, but God's people can be irritating. Did you know that? They can. But that does not excuse us from living in and walking in the love of God. We think of the incredible amount of patience that God has had with us, and how merciful he has been with us, and how often God has overlooked shortcomings or forgiven our shortcomings. One of the definitions of love here, the God kind of love, is that it denotes an undefeatable benevolence, an unconquerable goodwill that always seeks the highest good of the other person, no matter what he does. Imagine how amazing that is. It is the self-giving love that gives freely without asking anything in return, and does not consider the worth of its object. It's a love by choice, and refers to the will rather than simply to an emotion. And of course, God's love is under attack. It's under attack. The church is under attack in that area, because Satan knows that a church that has broken relationships is a church that isn't going to go very far in God. How does faith work? By love. Faith works by love. It's not by accident that these things are the way they are. God is calling us. He is calling us to walk in love. In fact, he said, you'll know them by their love one for another. That's what Jesus said. He said, God is love. Faith works by love. You'll know them by their love. And then he says that you don't love God if you don't love your brother. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? And so that's why the enemy works so hard to attack that area. And in order for you and I to be able to stay in a covering of God's love, we have to be with him every day. Every day. Every day. Because you and I, we have an enemy. We have an enemy. And he works diligently to cause us to separate from the love of God. Separate. And it's in the love of God that there is a divine protection, a supernatural grace. Because if we don't, the end result is often bitterness. And bitterness comes in and it shuts down. It shuts down, literally shuts down the power of prayer, and it disables the flow of God's grace. It doesn't flow. It doesn't flow. And you and I are the only ones that can determine whether that happens to us or not. In Matthew chapter 18, we're all pretty familiar with the unforgiving servant here. Let's turn to Matthew 18. And how a person who will not respond to the grace and to the love of God will end up in a place that he doesn't want to be. Matthew 18 tells us, verse 34, his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due. That's not a place we want to be. We don't want to be in a place like that. Bitterness is unfulfilled revenge. And we'll be tempted for that here. We'll be tempted because our flesh lives here on this planet. Your flesh, my flesh, and sometimes flesh meets flesh and war erupts. And that's why we need the grace. We need the grace. We need the grace. If I want to have any kind of meaningful relationship with the Holy Spirit, What is he called? Holy Spirit. If I want to have any kind of meaningful relationship with him, I have to stay in an attitude of love. I can't go to the Holy Spirit and be filled with a bitter, angry, envious attitude towards anyone. And bitterness is a classic symptom of the stronghold of cold love. Does any of that bear witness at all with you that it's, you know, in these days it's hard to be kind and gracious and full of love? It is. Especially behind the wheel, you know. It is. I'm always telling Christine, forgive them. Just let it go, dear. Let it go. He didn't mean to, you know. And laugh, but it's there's some truth to it. We can easily become angry. Easily. And we need the grace. We need the grace of God and His mercy and His love flowing through us. Because when we get hurt, we can make up reasons. You know, I used to love, but it was too painful. You know, too many problems with people. And or I used to do such and such in the church, but I don't anymore because no one appreciated me. And you can literally feel the hurt that is in the person because the enemy's got them to sit on it and rehearse it and think about it to the point where it's become a stronghold. And if Jesus warns us, you know, this isn't some person that we don't know. Not even a prophet, it's Jesus himself said to us that in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. That's a warning that I think we need to take to heart. Yes. Jesus doesn't say things just for something to do. And there's a warning in it because if you knew that sitting over here was going to alienate you from the love of God, you wouldn't do that. No one would purposefully choose to alienate themselves from the love of God. No one would. But it slips in. It slips in. And before you know it, it's working and, you know, the walls have gone up and we've withdrawn from God and from His people. And you know, the thing is that Jesus also said, in I believe it's Matthew 18, let me look, see. Yeah. Woe to the world because of offenses, verse 7 here. For offenses must come. Now, I don't know why they must come, but he says they must come. Offenses must come. So if we know they're coming, we can prepare ourselves for it. And it's usually, not always, but it's usually not the big things. You know, it's the little things. The little irritants that get under our skin. Not a big boulder, but some tiny thing. And it just builds and builds. And we can stumble over it. You know, you don't stumble over a boulder. You stumble over a little thing. And we stumble over it sometimes people's behavior, attitudes, comments, you know, things that just rub us the wrong way. Not realizing that you were set up. The enemy set you up. And he's real good at it. He's very good at it. And what happens is that every time something like that happens, a little bit of your heart gets colder. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. A little bit. And sometimes we're not even aware that we've formed a negative opinion about someone. And perhaps they even deserve it. But the reality is that opinion is going to hurt us more than it's going to hurt them. Because it's hurting my relationship with God. Every time, thank you, dear. This is an important topic because your relationship, my relationship with God, hinges on my attitude towards you to some degree. I can't relate to God without relating to you. I can't. And if I allow myself to become alienated from you, then I'm going to be alienated from him too. And that's not something that we want. I know we don't want to have that. You know, the Bible tells us we're to love God with all of our hearts. But what's the next thing he says? A little bit louder. Love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? What does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? What do you hear when you hear that? Any thoughts? Love your neighbor as yourself. Do they deserve that? They do. Did you say yes? I'm sorry, I didn't care. Yes, amen. And therein lies the reason we need to soak every day. Because if you don't soak, it'll stick to you. It'll stick. And the more it sticks, the harder it is to get off. You know, the longer it's there, the harder to get off. And the Bible is so clear on this, that loving others is not an option. It's not an option. It's not an option. And I've had personal experience where God would tell me, I'm not answering your prayer until you repent. Could he be more blunt? And I did, and he did. Well, he didn't repent, but he did the miracle. You know? God means what he says. He means what he says. And that when you think of all... Yes, sir?
I was thinking, and I don't know, just bouncing this off of you, but cold love, I see cold love as selfishness. That as we focus in on ourselves, it becomes colder and colder, and we're selfish.
Absolutely.
I view that selfishness is the opposite of what love is.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. I mean, it just, as we, the more we focus on ourselves, the more deceived we can become too. Because the more you kind of build your case, the more we believe it.
And Tom, loving your neighbor as yourself, like a person may not have great self-esteem, but God knows that we are preoccupied with ourselves by nature, right? We want to be treated kindly, we want to be respected, we want to be loved, we want all that stuff. Yeah. And so he's aware that we love ourselves, even if we don't try to, it's just who we are. And so loving neighbor as yourself is like within the same mark.
So how many walk by a mirror and don't look in? Come on. How many? You know? I mean, often we carry a mirror around, you know? It's true. I mean, to love others as ourselves, we love ourselves normally. And we're certainly willing to forgive ourselves. Normally, you know, something happens. Well, I didn't mean to do that. But if someone else does it, doesn't matter whether they meant to or not, they still did it. And that's why, if we will put forgiveness in the bank, what do I mean by that? Does that ring a bell? And I'll put forgiveness in the bank. What do you hear when you hear that? That's a real thing, putting forgiveness in the bank.
Store for yourself treasures in heaven.
Yeah. How?
Ephesians 4:32.
Sorry.
Ephesians 4:32.
Read it.
Be kind, tender-hearted,
Yeah. That's right, but where does that lead to? I'm saying putting forgiveness in the bank.
It will grow. If you practice it.
What does that mean, if you practice it?
So every time someone offends you, you choose to forgive. And when you choose to forgive, not just to say, I forgive, but it's like Jesus said in Matthew, that you're going to release them and forgive them.
You're putting it in the bank. In other words, when you forgive someone and they don't deserve it, you are putting it in the bank in the sense that what goes around comes around. Yes, sir.
Also covers a multitude of sins.
That's my next verse. Yes.
If you do something wrong, then God says, I know that.
Yes. Amen. That's exactly right.
King David is giving someone.
Yeah. That's true, though. See, love, Proverbs 10 something or other, says love covers a multitude of sins. Actually, it says it covers all sins. There's another one that says multitude. That's in 1 Peter, I believe. It says love covers a multitude of sins. So that if we are proactive in our forgiving of others, we're putting it in the bank. So that when our need is there to be forgiven, we will be forgiven. But to the person who refuses to, who goes by the letter of the law, you offended me and you must be punished, what happens to that person?
No mercy.
That's true, but Matthew 18, there's no mercy. They're turned over to the torturers. You know. So that there should be a high motivation within us to embrace grace and forgiveness and to guard against the cold heart. We want to hear from God. You know, when you pray and you ask God a question, usually you want an answer. You know, most people don't pray for nothing. They want an answer for something, and that to the degree that our hearts are open with God, not perfect, but open, we'll be able to hear. We'll be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, because that's His job, that's His role. In John chapter 16, Jesus talked about how the Holy Spirit will tell us things that to come. In 1 Corinthians 2, it talks about how the Holy Spirit will interpret Bible verses, the promises of God, will help us to understand. Acts tells us that the Holy Spirit will tell us where to go and what to say and where to be, so that when we need to be somewhere, we'll be there, because our hearts are open to God and we haven't allowed them to grow cold. But the danger, there's a real danger. When Jesus says the hearts of many or most will grow cold, I hear that and I think, God, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want that to happen to me. But it can happen to me. It can. It can happen to anybody. It can happen to anybody, you know? It just kind of sneaks up on you, like those few extra pounds, you know, they just kind of sneak up. One day they're there, you know, but they weren't there before, you know. We want to hear from the Lord, and we want God to desire to be with us,
yes.
You know.
Yes.
We want God to like us. Is there anybody here that doesn't feel like they want God to like them? Of course we do. We want God to like us. We know God loves us, but we want Him to enjoy being with us as well. You know? That it's not just a matter of, you know, you're His child, He's got to put up with you regardless. That's not the kind of relationship we want to have with God. But He will help us. He will help us. You know, and I know the Bible says God has no favorites, but I forget where it is exactly, but it talks about that if Noah, Daniel, and someone else were standing in front of me. Yeah, Job, that's right. Were standing in front of me, they would save only themselves. So that tells me that their relationship with God is very positive and strong. And we want to have that kind of relationship with God, especially as we're facing eternity. You know, in your deathbed, you're not going to be looking to see what your bank balance is or if you got the promotion. On our deathbed, we'll be looking to see, what does God think of me? Am I ready to meet Him? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, Lord, help us, Heavenly Father, help us to be a people that are filled with the love of God, that we would not allow our own hearts to grow cold. Help us, Lord, because we need help with that. It's so simple to just lose that, and we don't want to lose it. So I pray for us, Father. I pray for each and every one of us at Abundant Life Christian Fellowship, that we would have a heart that loves God, that we would have a heart that is hungry and seeking after God, that we would hear the voice of the Lord, and that we would have a passion and a desire to be with You, Jesus. Amen. Amen.